Hi there, folks. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show, episode 62. My great co-host is joining me today. Like to introduce yourself, Jason?
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Jason Bates, and I host a podcast called Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show right here in Phoenix, Arizona. And you can check that out by visiting my webpage, www.valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com.
That's great, Jason. Jason actually suggested this, and I think it's a great topic and a topic that we haven't really talked a lot about over the weeks, but I think it is important, and that's LinkedIn, folks. It recently got sold. It got sold to Microsoft. I think it was a couple billion dollars that they spent. It could have been more, folks. They were in a bit of a price war with Salesforce.com over the purchase of LinkedIn. So, obviously, Microsoft thinks there's great value there. So, Jason, what do you think of LinkedIn? What's your experiences and why do you think it's important?
Well, I think it's one of these underutilized platforms. And I think, a lot of agents put their information out there just so they can get some SEO rankings. And because of that, it kind of loses its luster. Everybody obviously is in, Facebook, a lot of people anyway. Google Plus is kind of being pushed to the side, in my opinion. Snapchat is a big deal right now. But those really are social media, where LinkedIn is really your professional profile. And so looking at your professional profile, I don't think we spend enough attention on that professional profile. We focus on websites and other things, but we don't really focus on our profile. And LinkedIn provides that professional profile. Plus, it's also a huge resource by getting into some of the groups and some of the other things. You can learn a lot from your colleagues right off of LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think you're mostly totally right. This is my take, Jason. You've got to have a decent photograph, folks, and you've got to fill it out and have somebody check over it. That's also got some experience. And have somebody else check it over and alter any kind of grammar, spelling. I know this sounds really basic, folks, but you'd be amazed at the amount of people that don't do this. Like Jason said, one of the strengths of LinkedIn is its relationship with Google, because your profile, when somebody does a general search for you, your LinkedIn profile, the public-facing profile, is going to be one of the things that comes up in search. If they do, like if you did a search for Jason Bates Phoenix, obviously it has to be a cleared out browser with no previous history. But I would imagine if you did a search for Jason Bates Phoenix, in the top 6 to 7 results will be his LinkedIn profile. So fill it all out, check it. There's two other areas which I think most agents probably aren't aware of. Is you can't just leave it there. You should spend a little bit of time every week connecting to people in your local community. And it's a great way, especially if you're going to formal business functions, to connect with people. So you should really spend a little bit of time each week actually connecting with people. The reason why that's important, folks, is that for you to you won't be able, unless you pay the premium version, and they have different levels, folks, but we're mostly going to be talking about the free version. The free version, to see other people that you might want to connect to, you normally got to have a first, second, or third connection. This is LinkedIn speak. I won't delve in what precisely a first, second, and third means, because it can get very in turn speak, if you understand what I mean. But for you to see somebody's profile, you're going to have to be connected to somebody else in their LinkedIn network. So the more people in your local area that you're linked in, the more other people in your local community, business community, the community that you're selling homes in, you'll be able to see their profile, send them a connect message, connect with them. So the second thing, which is really important, by doing that and by them accepting your connects, you can actually export all the connections you have out of LinkedIn into a database, either a customer relation system, or it's one of the major ways that we help our clients at MailRite to get their first database list. Obviously, we help them with Outlook. We help them get their smartphone contact list out. But they tend to forget that they've got a very large list in LinkedIn. Unfortunately, you can only export everybody in an Excel spreadsheet. And then what our people do, they tend to email it to us and we clean it up for them and we get it all ready for their MailRite system. So I've just gone through a couple of things. What do you think, Jason? Was that useful?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, LinkedIn does have that export feature that helps people build their database. And I don't understand with realtors in general, just with social media, every person I get in contact with, I always look them up on LinkedIn and try to connect with them on LinkedIn. That's just the first place I go. I don't necessarily care about their Facebook, although I know everybody's on Facebook. I want to see the professional side. I want to see their, you know, how professional they present themselves. And so LinkedIn is a great way. Now, we talked about some of the other tools too within LinkedIn, right? So they have posts where you can post actual blog posts. Now, the powerful thing about that is that you're leveraging other people's posts. So you can post, and I'm not talking about just posting stuff about your recent listing. You know, have some substance behind what you're going to post, you know. But if you take the time and research and draw up a blog post, you can post it right there on LinkedIn. And the exposure that you get for that is unmatched. It's really unmatched.
I think that's great, Jason. Jason's spot on. Actually, for my other business, folks, yesterday I wrote a 5,000-word article. And when that gets published on my other business's website, two other places where I'm going to be publishing that is LinkedIn and also still Google Plus, even though it's going to be phased out. But I post it, and there's a couple of other website properties that I post it on as well. It always originally goes on my website, but then I always post it. I think the couple benefits of that, folks, is that you do get SEO by doing that to some extent, but also you're showing that you're an expert in that area, that you're active, that you're interested in what's going on. You know, the article should be around property, but like what Jason says, I don't really think, unless it's a very unusual home or it was an unusual sell, just posting a picture and, you know, the price, blah, 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 isn't going to be that interesting. But if you can write like a 250-word, 500-word about anything that would interest your target audience about the selling of the home, which then you should place on your website, but then you can place on LinkedIn, can only help you build your credibility in the local sphere where you're operating. What do you reckon, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, it can help. And you'll be surprised how many other professionals will gravitate toward your articles. You know, I've done articles and I've gone out and met, you know, other professionals within, you know, the real estate industry. And they said, oh, yeah, you're all over LinkedIn. I see you all over the place. It does add some validation to what you're putting your efforts towards. So LinkedIn, and it's professional. Right. I don't want somebody coming to me and saying, oh, you post a bunch of stuff about what you ate last night, like they do on Facebook. Right. So I want to post things that do validate me as a professional and as a resource more than anything else in my industry.
And I think one of the things that we've been stressing over the weeks, because we have been talking a lot about Facebook, folks, and about social media to some degree. But on the other hand, I think these are very important areas for the real estate industry where you're looking to build up a book of business. But one of the things that I've learned clearly from these discussions recently is what's suitable for one social media property isn't right for another social media. What you would put on Twitter isn't suitable for Facebook. What you put on Facebook wouldn't be suitable for LinkedIn. What you would put on LinkedIn wouldn't be suitable for Twitter and Facebook. So that's why you don't bite off too much. Find the social media properties that suit your style and be strategic and publish regularly. That would be some of my key tips. But I think you get a lot of people in the social media and they really see LinkedIn as a ghost town. You know, when you talk to social media and the lady, Mishka, that I had and interviewed last week, she's a real hardcore social media that's worked for Fortune 500 companies in America and in Europe. And she has got a sizable following in the social media industry. But she really, when I, not on the Mailwright Show, but on another podcast where I interviewed her, she was really dismissive of LinkedIn. I don't agree with that, actually. I think for a real estate agent, you can get a lot of value and by building up your database list. I think a lot of the people that you, when you go to community function, business functions, the number one, you know, trying to connect with people on their personal Facebook profile can upset some people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of older people, it does really vary, and it varies if you're in a metropolitan area. But there are a lot of people that don't use Twitter. So the first thing I would do is, like what Jason does, is try and connect with them through LinkedIn. I think it's acceptable. And then connect with them through their Facebook page. But I would be a bit cagey about connecting with them through their profile, their Facebook profile. Where you can do that is, and one of the things that I would slightly disagree with Jason, is that I think for various internal reasons, LinkedIn groups have declined quite substantially. Mm-hmm. I think one of the factors for that is the rise of Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And I'm a member of a couple of one that's run by Chris Smith of Curator. He's got over 25,000 members of his open Facebook group. You do have to ask if you can join, but he's got about 25,000 and he allowed me to join that. And I do connect through to agents through that group. And there's a couple of other Facebook groups aimed at the real estate industry that I'm a member of. And I do connect through that because one of the benefits, folks, is if you join a Facebook group, you can see all the membership.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know, would you join me in my profile? Obviously, the problem is you've got to be a little bit choosy because you've got the 5,000 threshold. And you'd be surprised if you join a couple of large Facebook groups, you can soon reach the threshold. So yeah. We've got all that. But I think that's what the growth of Facebook groups have diminished the power of LinkedIn groups, but still don't dismiss it, folks, because I think almost everything else that you said, Jason, I totally agree. What do you think about what I've said about groups? Do you disagree or agree or what?
To a certain degree, you know, at least from the mortgage side in there. Here's a problem, not really a problem, but a lot of agents take things way too personally and they don't want to share things. And I feel like in Facebook, it can be a little personal. Facebook is a little personal side. Not Facebook groups, I'm part of many Facebook groups, and I enjoy them quite immensely. But on the LinkedIn side, it's a little more professional. It's a little more professionals helping professionals. And so it's not so personal. They don't feel so attached to the information. So I've gotten some great value from some of the LinkedIn groups as a result of that. Facebook groups, I would agree with you. LinkedIn groups aren't as robust as they once were because of the Facebook groups and their kind of takeover, and everybody's gone over to Facebook. Facebook really for me is more of a personal thing, and we've gotten desensitized a little bit to personal versus professional. And we've kind of mixed those two things together. And that can be a dangerous recipe, in my opinion. And so LinkedIn is, and I'm amazed. I've had this before, and I'll give you a little backstory on it, but I'm just amazed at how the integrity of LinkedIn and its professional platform has maintained itself over the life of LinkedIn. It doesn't seem to have degenerated at all. And in fact, when I've seen posts that are a little risque or maybe not so professional, I've seen other people within LinkedIn kind of chastise the person for posting stuff that isn't professional. So it's almost a self-policing kind of thing going on right now, which is just amazing to me within LinkedIn that you don't necessarily get in Facebook. Facebook is more raw and in your face kind of postings, and be the first to post something that might be a little on the edge. It seems to be the acceptable meaner or manner there on Facebook. But to my point, you know, I've had two people, independent people, look at some realtors and how they present themselves. Now, some realtors, you know, go to listings and listing presentations in a t-shirt and shorts, and that's not a real professional profile. And then they'll sit there and say, well, hey, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts, and they don't even realize they're doing it, right? They don't realize the aura or the, you know, image that they're portraying. You look at them in face-to-face t-shirt and shorts, yet they'll be in a suit and tie on their website. And they go to a listing presentation. It's too much of a it's not in harmony with one another. What you're presenting in person and what you're presenting online are two different things. And you know, I've had this buyer, she's like, look, if an agent came to me in a t-shirt and shorts, or I saw that t-shirt and shorts on Facebook or whatever, my image from them would degrade a little bit, and they wouldn't be selling my $500,000 house. They just wouldn't. And so image is a big component of to what we do. And I think we lose that a little bit through Facebook.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jason. We're going to continue this discussion in the second half of this show. We're having a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute, folks.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, folks. We're discussing LinkedIn. I totally agree with you. I think consistency of how you market yourself is important. You know, I'm not saying being in, you know, a certain style clothing. It depends on the area and the type of people that are your normal clientele. But I think consistency is important, and I think you're spot on, Jason. Now, you brought to my notice this company and Linked Me Guides. And they, it'll be in the show notes, folks, but it's linkedmeguides.com. And I put the link in.
It's Linked Me In Guides.
Oh, yes. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, Linked Me In Guides. They're relatively new here in the United States, but I thought they were really interesting in that they really focus on realtors. You know, so many times we hear, Jonathan, I know you hear this all the time. I know I hear this, is what if I approach a realtor and talk to them about social media and what they should be doing. Hey, what do I post? I don't know what to post. What do I do? How do I approach it? Well, this helps guide you through that, if you will. No pun intended, but guide you through that in LinkedIn. And so it really puts you in a professional light. They're big, I think, in Australia, New Zealand, England. I think they're just breaking into the United States here. So I thought it was very interesting, because this is the first time that I've seen social media really focus on a real estate agent on a social media platform.
Yeah, I had a look over the website. It does. If you're looking for advice and you're looking for a company that specializes in the real estate industry. They have packages. I couldn't find any, it might be down to me, Jason, I couldn't find any prices on the website.
They're not that bad. I think it was like $350 or so. But that's one time fee that you pay. It's not an ongoing thing. And they'll post for you. They get you content. And I think part of that too, Jonathan, and you know, you tell me your thoughts. As we get older, at least as I've gotten older, my creativity has diminished. I'm not as creative as I once was when I was a teenager or younger. And so as we get older and as we get into our professional lives, we start to get a little more narrow-minded to things. And so sometimes having an outside source help you with your creativity and your content can be a very useful tool.
Yeah, I think it varies, but I do, because especially you've got family and other personal commitments, and you're you know, it can sometimes very regularly seem overwhelming. All right, so I couldn't find it, but you have. $350 doesn't seem outrageous to me. Keeping one of the benefits of the. One of the reasons why this works, folks, unlike your website and some other, is that Google will put your profile, you know, if somebody does a search, like, once again, Jason Bates Phoenix, your LinkedIn profile will inevitably be in the top 5 to 6 of the results. But you won't be penalised if the content isn't precisely original. You know, I don't know how much of the content they're producing. I would imagine it's curated and shared throughout their whole membership, but that's a pure guess at that price point. But it really wouldn't matter that much, you know, because as long as they're, you know, you're not posting the same stuff for agents that are in the same zip code. It's not really going to damage the agent. Using curated content on your website, you will actually be penalized by Google, and it will actually damage your online marketability. So, so that's not a good idea. So, but when it comes to Facebook and other kind of social, and I agree with you what you originally said, Jason. LinkedIn is a kind of I was going to say a strange creature, but that's not the right terminology. It's not exactly a social media platform, but it is. Yeah. It's a hybrid, and it will be interesting. Just to give you some background information, folks, there's a very popular training website called lynda.com that has hundreds of training videos on Photoshop, project management, business courses, plus the Adobe suite. It has hundreds and hundreds of video courses, and it is the most popular online training resource on the internet. And they got bought about 3 years ago by LinkedIn. Now, like I said, Microsoft have recently bought LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that this is a pure guess, Jason, one of the things that Microsoft is going to probably be doing with LinkedIn is also it's becoming more and more involved on ongoing training, on training professionals with certifications, ongoing training, to get people to spend more time on LinkedIn and to be more involved in LinkedIn, which results in more time on LinkedIn, if you understand. So I can see them clearly doing that.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And, you know, there's some cross-pollination going on there with Outlook being the, you know, number one email source of most businesses. Outlook really integrates well in with LinkedIn, the calendar and things like that. So I would agree with you as far as the training source goes. No, you know, one thing I want to mention here before we move on too much is, you know, realtors are always looking for leads, right? Leads are kind of the holy grail in real estate. Well, LinkedIn is a resource for leads, and I don't think we utilize it enough. You can actually get in contact with a lot of people. For example, if you wanted to target, you know, Honeywell is a big employer here in Arizona. You can look up everybody who has worked or is working at Honeywell. And that can kind of give you a little bit of a demographic of the purchaser or seller that you may be dealing with. And so it can give you a little insight, and you can then, you know, copy and paste an email once you connect, introducing yourself to that person. Which is I use that quite a bit when introducing my services to real estate agents, and I would get at least once a week a meeting with realtors directly through LinkedIn. So it is a resource for leads if utilized. It's not just a place to post.
I think that's a great point, Jason. The thing I would say about that is that at the actual there is advanced search in LinkedIn. To utilize that effectively, like a lot of CRMs, folks, it relies on you being a little bit religious about your tagging, because yeah. At the core of LinkedIn search, their advanced search is you tagging with some structure. And what a tag is, just a title. So when, like the example that Jason just about Pacific Company, anybody you find, tag them if they're not tagged themselves. So then when you go into advanced search, you can do a custom search, and you can use that predefined tag to get a list. Unfortunately, you can't export that list. There are some third-party systems that work with LinkedIn's API that will allow you to do that. They're not exactly the cheapest, but they're not ridiculously priced as well. I was looking at one service, and it's like $200 a month. But you've got to be using LinkedIn a lot to justify. Or maybe if you had a license and you were sharing it in a small office. But what that allowed you, you know, when you did your search, you'd be able to export those searches out and put them in your database system, your list building system.
Well, you can also get in with the decision makers within an organization. You know, if you wanted to get in with a school district, you want to represent teachers buying and selling properties or whatever, you can get in with that school district's superintendent. And then, you know, kind of pitch yourself through the email once you're connected. The other thing, too, that allows you to do is you can connect with third and second level people. And it's not going to ask you for their email. It's not going to, when you click connect or whatever, sometimes it asks for an email. It won't do that. You just click connect, and it automatically sends them an invite to connect. Now, LinkedIn's pretty, there are some sticks in the mud in LinkedIn. People who don't want to connect, which I've never understood that, to be honest with you. Why are you on LinkedIn if you don't want to connect with people? I don't get that, but whatever. There are those people out there, but the most people will be happy to oblige and respond to that connect. And then once you're connected, then you can send them that email and with, you know, some links and whatever, and kind of doing your pitch, especially if you want to get in with those decision makers. Let's say you want to get into the payroll of a company. Where you want to put in some flyers or something like that to market to their employees. Getting in touch with those decision makers is critical to kind of get your pitch to say, hey, I want to be the, you know, we have that here with NFL teams, right? The Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, the Rattlers. Realtors are always going after those clubs, especially spring training, and they want to represent those players in the spring training. And get them temporary housing for spring training, or, you know, the Cardinals NFL team, they want to represent and be the quote unquote realtor for the Cardinals kind of thing. Well, you got to get in touch with the decision makers, and what better way to do that than through LinkedIn? So yeah, it is effective in that way.
I think that's fantastic. A little tip, folks, the actual contact message that you can send out, we're not having to know. Sometimes they still ask. It depends on how the individual set up their LinkedIn profile. That's another thing, folks. Oh, there's two things that I want to point out, is that when you set up your profile, there is settings, and you really want to read those settings and study them, because sometimes any change is automatically pushed out to all your contacts, and you don't really want that, because if you're just doing a minor change to your profile, you don't want it blasted out, especially if you're editing it quite regularly, because that can be a bit irritating. The other thing, the contact message, is that I actually always customize that message. But I use a system on my... I'm a Mac person, but I'm sure there's other similar systems. I use something called Text Expander. And basically, you can write a little custom message. And you can have keystroke shortcuts. Like mine for LinkedIn is LK. And boom, boom. The slightly customized contact us message just pops up. And I paste it in, and I just customize it slightly. But I send them. I don't like using the purely internal contact us message. So that's what I've done with there. And I'm sure there's a kind of Text Expander kind of programs for the PC as well. So it's just a little tip there. So I think we're going to wrap it out. We've got any final words, Jason? And also explain to people how they can get hold of you as well at the end.
Yeah, final word here on LinkedIn. Before you do any of the things that I kind of suggested there, make sure your profile is set correctly, because people are going to come to that page, and you want to, you know, present yourself in the right light. So I would suggest adding video. You can do that on your profile. Very easy. Add a video.
Yeah.
Very easy, and I would highly suggest doing that. But so with that, I'll close it out here on my end, and that is, I'm Jason Bates, host of a podcast called Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show right here in Phoenix, Arizona. So if you're looking to purchase or refinance here in Arizona, I certainly would love the opportunity to earn your business. And you can certainly check out my podcast by visiting my webpage at www.valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com. And this is the first, I want to say real quick, this is the first time we've done a Facebook Live. I'm simultaneously doing this Fire Talk on my Facebook Live. So if you're watching this on Facebook Live or watching the replay of it or whatever, please like my page, and I'll be sure and bring some other videos to my Facebook Live page.
That sounds great. Thanks for that, Jason. So, folks, we're coming to the end of the show. I just want to say we've got a really interesting guest next week. His name's Grant Wise. He's the founder of Modern Moguls Marketing. He's well known for his Facebook training systems for real estate agents and brokers. He seems a really cool cat, as they say, and he'll be coming on the show to really share his extensive experience on Facebook, on training hundreds of real estate agents to utilize Facebook more effectively. And it should be a really lively, interesting discussion. Go to the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. When we get guests, we normally have a longer interview than the podcast. And we normally also have an extensive set of notes, which I need to catch up with. I've been a bit lazy over the holiday weekend. So that's on my task list, folks. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Jason. It's always fantastic having you as a co-guest. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.